What is the return of Jesus? Why is he returning? Where is he returning to, and how does it connect us to the end times? In the next few studies, we will unpack these answers.
Welcome to the Jesus for Israel podcast, where we discuss all things related to Jesus, the Bible, Israel, and the end times.
As believers, many of us know that during the first coming of Jesus, he came to deal with sin and to pave the way of salvation through his work on the cross. Furthermore, we know that soon after the crucifixion of Jesus, he resurrected and ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father. In other words, Jesus right now sits at the highest place over all creation and rulership in heaven and on earth. This is a demonstration of his complete power and authority over all things. Now, while many understand that Jesus came once, a large number of believers rarely think about the second coming of Jesus and the events that will take place leading up to his return. Now, why is it important to know that Jesus will return? Furthermore, why should we know the signs of his return? The answer? Because it strengthens our faith in Jesus, keeps us from deception, and helps us to understand the signs and events of his return. Understanding the second coming of Jesus is one of the many core doctrines of Scripture believers must be informed in. As we have examined our faith and the history of our faith, one of the core teachings every believer must know is the doctrine or teaching of the second coming of Jesus. Listen to what James the Apostle writes in James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. Quote, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Listen to what Jesus instructed his disciples concerning his second coming. In Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44, it says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." In other words, Jesus is conveying in this passage for us to be vigilant, always watching for the signs of his return, or we can risk becoming distracted and complacent, resulting in one day being caught by surprise when he does return. Now, in light of the recent Hamas terror attack in Israel on October 7th and Israel's war with Hamas, the whole world has been drawn into this conflict, which has begun to generate many questions, such as, who is Israel? Why is there a conflict? Why is Jerusalem important? Why has there been a historic hate for the Jewish people throughout the centuries? How do these events relate to Jesus and to prophecy, etc.? Now, a multitude of Christians are unaware that the return of Jesus and the end times actually center around what happens in Israel leading up to his return. Yes, that same nation and city that still exists in the Middle East today. Now, many are finding out, which is why now numerous people all around the world are waking up, coming to God, reading his word, and seeking to understand the significance of these events. So, as a committed follower of Jesus, if we want to understand the end times, we must first, number one, acknowledge that Jesus is returning and be ready. Number two, we must aim to know the signs of his return. Now, before we look at what the Bible says about the events leading up to the return of Jesus, let us quickly refresh ourselves and define what the return of Jesus and the end times are. First, what is the return of Jesus? The return of Jesus is the biblical teaching that Jesus will return a second time to fulfill all the promises. He will return a second time to fulfill all of the promises and prophecies spoken and recorded in the scriptures for his people and for his glory. What are the end times? The end times are the events leading up to the return of Jesus and the end of this present evil age. The study of end time events is called eschatology, meaning the study of last things or the study of the end times. So let's briefly unpack the core teaching of the second coming of Jesus. Now, in the first coming of Jesus, he was born as a baby in the land of Israel, in Bethlehem, just as it was prophesied. Jesus fulfilled many of the prophecies that spoke of a future Messiah or Savior as recorded in the Old Testament. During his birth, life, ministry, death, and resurrection, as recorded in the New Testament. After the saving work of Jesus on the cross, he then ascended to heaven with all power and authority, awaiting the day when he will return to finish his work. Let's look at the scriptures that tell us about the return of Jesus. And we're going through this because, as I shared before we started this live, many are really thinking about the return of Jesus, the fact that he will return. What does that even mean? Until we're kind of brought face to face with that reality. So it's important to know that the Bible teaches this. Let's look at these scriptures. We're going to look at Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, where it describes Jesus speaking with his disciples after being on earth for 40 days, him ascending from the Mount of Olives. It says in verse 9 of chapter 1, "Now, when Jesus had spoken these things," all the conversations that he had with the disciples about the kingdom of God, "while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight," out of the sight of the disciples. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them," these are two angelic beings, "in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus," important, "who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." In Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, in this particular chapter, Peter issues a call for repentance before Jesus returns. It says this, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive or retain until the times of the restoration of all things," the fulfillment of all of God's plans, all of his promises, "which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Now Peter focuses on what the prophets have spoken, which is something we will continue to focus on in the studies to come. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is a chapter where the Apostle Paul is speaking of the promised return of Jesus and the end of this wicked age. It says in verse 20 through 26, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits," the first who will come, "of those who have passed away," fallen asleep. "For since by man came death," referring to Adam and his sin, "by men," referring to Jesus, "also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order." Now here we're going to have an order of events. Pay attention. It says, "Christ the first fruits," referring to his first resurrection, "and then afterward those who are Christ, those who belong to him at his coming," referring to his return. "And then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And then the last enemy that will be destroyed forever is death. For he has put all things under his feet." In Matthew chapter 24, we're given a glimpse into the actual event of the return of Jesus. And it says this in Matthew 24, verses 29 through 31, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see, every eye will see, the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. Remember what the angel said to the disciples. He said, just as he went up in a cloud, he's coming back in a cloud. They will see the sign of the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And our last passage to prove this point, giving us just some basic information about the reality that Jesus is returning a second time. In Revelation 19, we're given insight into the colossal event of Jesus' return to the earth. In Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16, it says this, "Now I, John," referring to John the Apostle, "I saw the heavens opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." And these are all pictures displaying God's power, Jesus' power, his authority, his fierceness as he returns. And it also has a lot of labels that are attached to Jesus that are connected for us in God's Word. Verse 14, it continues, "And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself," listen, "will rule them," the nations, "with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." He comes with all the power of God the Father. "And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Now, in these few examples in the New Testament, we are told clearly that Jesus is returning. And while Jesus fulfilled many prophecies regarding his first mission in Israel and his work on the cross, there are still many prophecies that Jesus has not yet fulfilled. So why is Jesus returning? Well, in short, because Jesus has unfinished business. Let that sink in. Why is Jesus returning? In short, in a nutshell, because Jesus has unfinished business. The second coming of Jesus will be his physical return to the land of Israel and the city Jerusalem to take up his throne, save his people, judge Satan, the kingdom of darkness, the wicked of humanity, and to set up his kingdom. In his first coming, Jesus was a suffering servant for his nation Israel and the rest of the world who would believe. In his second coming, Jesus will be the conquering king, as we read in Revelation 19. In his first coming, Jesus arrived in the humblest of circumstances. In his second coming, Jesus will arrive with the armies of heaven at his side to judge the wicked and set up his kingdom. Now, the affairs of this world are guided by God. He is the author, and he will see it to its conclusion. So why should we look forward to the return of Jesus? Well, first, because we're instructed to. This is a core teaching of the Bible. We're instructed to. Now, while the Holy Spirit is present with us to instruct, to guide, comfort, and help us, the physical and momentary absence of Jesus Christ, our Lord, will have two effects on our lives. It will either cause us to become complacent in our life, resulting in playing around with sin, being swept away with the desires of this world, and neglecting the fact that Jesus is returning. Or it will cause us to remain watchful, to remain in prayer, to continue in holiness and close relationship with Jesus, anticipating his return to fulfill all his promises to his people. Looking forward to the return of Jesus also enables us to have a strong faith to know what God is actually doing according to prophecy, as well as helping us to navigate the tumultuous time leading up to the return of Jesus, when the world will be entangled in a global conflict. God always lets His people know what He is doing. Listen, God always lets His people know what He is doing. That's why you have to study the Scriptures. And that is the benefit of knowing prophecy according to the Bible, what the Bible has to say about future events. And lastly, we should look forward to the return of Jesus because it is the last redemptive event in history. As faithful followers of Jesus, we will receive the full reward of our faithfulness, patience, and endurance. We will experience the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem where there is no death, pain, or tears, where true and lasting righteousness and peace will dwell. The second coming of Jesus is hope for all those who believe in Him. It demonstrates that God is in control of all things, and He will see them to their conclusion, as we said. So, remain watchful. In this study, we looked at the biblical teaching of the return of Jesus. In our next study, we will delve deeper into the why, the where, and the events leading up to His return. I pray that you enjoyed this brief study, just kind of being exposed to the very basics of understanding the return of Jesus and what it means. I pray that it would bring you closer to God, to His Word, and that it would also direct your daily life. And this is our desire, this is the Lord's desire, is to help build us up in our faith and to prepare us for His soon return. As we look at all the events taking place in our world, in Israel, in this conflict, and everything else happening around the globe, the Bible gives us hope and helps us to navigate what all of that means and how we should live our lives. So I want to encourage you, don't be afraid, have hope, cling to God, cling to His Word, find a Bible teaching assembly that will help you understand the basics of your faith, the history of your faith, and all these important topics, especially the end times. And I pray that you would continue to be blessed and be a mouthpiece for the Lord to the world. Jesus is coming. He exists. His Word is true. And He will return again to settle all of the issues and all the controversies. If you're new to this study and you're hearing about all of this, I just want to encourage you. It's not an accident that you're listening. The Lord has led you to this. And the Bible tells us He commands all mankind to repent, to turn from sin, to submit their lives to God. And in doing so, you'll receive eternal life. Believe in Jesus today. Trust in Him. And He'll take the fear that you have. He'll replace it with courage. We all feel fear, but the Bible and His Holy Spirit give us comfort and courage. And He'll guide you and He'll lead you into truth. Believe in Jesus tonight. We'll see you for our next Bible study. God bless.